Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with Brad Whitford, one of the guitarists of Aerosmith, who's coming to MGM National Harbor on August 8th, 10th, and 13th. Thanks so much for joining us, Brad.
Hey, thank you, Jason.
Now, this tour at MGM National Harbor, it's going to be awesome. You guys are one of the biggest rock bands in history, but MGM's one of, I guess, you know, relatively speaking, an intimate setting compared to a lot of, you know, you guys could sell out stadiums. This is going to be a really place to see you guys. What do we got in store here? I don't necessarily want you to spoil the set list for anyone that's coming, but in terms of the production value or, you know, what makes this tour a little different from past ones, if any of our listeners have seen you guys before?
Well, as you know, we've been doing a residency in Las Vegas and for MGM, and we're just trying to bring a little bit of what we're doing out there in their Las Vegas casino to National Harbor. So it'll be a little, you know, it'll be some fun things. There's a very a great piece of video that we show everybody that's a little bit historical and kind of showing different things about over almost 50 years of doing what we do. So you get a little bit of insight into each guy in the band, and it's really fun. People seem to really enjoy it. And then, of course, we play. That's the easy part.
Awesome. I definitely don't want to spoil the whole set list, but I assume we're gonna hear, you know, could you rattle off a couple we might hear? Some of the go-tos?
Oh, gosh. I mean, we do a little, we mix up a few things on the set on a daily basis, or on a show basis, but it's a little bit, you know, we always do a little bit of stuff we did in the early days and right up to today. And sometimes we change it a little bit, just more for ourselves, I think, than the audience. But the audience always enjoys it. So we always kind of have a few surprises. Sometimes I don't know what's. Sometimes the song will be like 10 minutes before we go on. Oh, we're going to do this song. It's like, oh, okay. I think I remember that one.
Well, I mean, you guys have, you know, five decades of hits. Not many bands can say that, you know, chart-topping hits over multiple decades. You have a lot to choose from. Take me back to the very beginning. I know the band formed around, you know, 69, 70, the original three, and then you joined, I think, in 1971, but that was still before your first record deal. So you were in there on the ground floor, that original quintet, if you will. How exactly did that come about? Did they post, like, you know, an ad for it, or did you, like, what was your intro to the band there? How did you actually hook up with those guys?
Well, it's kind of a fun story. I mean, I was playing in this other band. I didn't know Joe or Tom, or I didn't know anything about them. But the guys I was playing with would talk about them because they were friendly, and they would once in a while mention Aerosmith. And we, in the summer of 71, this group I was with, we went up to Sunapee to play a show up there, and I guess the word was out that Joe Perry and Tom Hamilton came to see us play. So that's when I first met Tom and Joe, and about a week later, I got a call from Joe, and, you know, like, hey, what are you doing? You want to hang out? And we did. We became friends, and shortly after that, he talked about me being in, you know, wanting to be in Aerosmith. That's what Joe wanted to do, and so I said, hey, that's great, but I don't know anything about you. I've never seen you play, and so I can't really say, when can I come see you play? So we did that. We went. I went to see them play up in Mendon, Massachusetts, and I was like, oh, my God, these guys are great. So that was it. I signed on the dotted line in August 1971, and And that's how it happened.
That's awesome. First impression of Steven Tyler when you first met him? Well, first saw him sing with the guys, I guess. You probably saw him. And then when you actually...
Oh, you know what? I guess my first impression was he was, I got this guy is definitely a rocker because he's always been very conscious of, you know, his clothing and his appearance. So he had a very, he looked like a rock star when we were a long way from anything like that. But he had a great. A great presence, and he just dressed badass, and quite obviously just an amazing vocal talent. So he's an incredible musician. He's got perfect pitch, and he really knows how to listen to music and dissect it. It was really cool meeting him.
And a similar question about Joe Perry. You know, you guys are both there on the guitars. What's it been like riffing with him over the years, something that, you know, we might not know as casual listeners, but you know, just you and him on the guitars together. Just speak to your chemistry together plus strengths.
Oh well, we had an instantaneous chemistry and you know, it was just one of those things that worked. We didn't have to really work at it. We just sort of naturally fell into each other's type of playing, and it was easy. It was really easy. So, and he was just coming up with all these amazing riffs that, you know, eventually turned into, you know, our first album and Get Your Wings. And I mean, he's just has this ability to come up with these badass licks. And I'll tell you something, maybe people don't know, but if Joe Perry invites you over and he's going to cook, you make sure you're there because he's a culinary master.
All right. So both kind of licks.
Like if Joe's doing barbecue or Thanksgiving and he invites you, it's like, cool, man, you know you're going to be very happy.
That's awesome to hear. All right, so you mentioned, you know, he was just fiddling around, showing a bunch of riffs, you know, before, and then all of a sudden, I guess you got your, you know, you're signed by Columbia, you get that self-titled debut album in 73, and of course that has Dream On there, but I, a lot of people today forget that wasn't like a big hit at the time, right? Didn't it take some time?
No.
When you guys were trying to, I know it's been forever, trying to mentally take us back in the recording studio on that one. Did you sense that it maybe this thing bigger, like the audiences aren't getting it yet, but this thing is a masterpiece?
I don't think we felt, not at that time. It was a good song, but not at that time. It didn't feel like it was going to be such a classic that probably lived for many, many, many decades. You just knew it was a good song, and the thing, it's crazy, that song is just, it has become that kind of tune that's just going to go on forever.
Absolutely.
Great lyrics, great song, with really cool arrangement. It's very song-like. It's not just a jam. Very well constructed.
Right.
I mean, we spent a lot of time constructing the guitar parts, when we did that, we recorded that. I'm surprised it sounds so good. I mean, we were actually using equipment that some of it was made out of cardboard. I mean, it was so unlike anything that we have today for recording.
That's wild.
But it survived. Yeah. It survived technology, and it survived on people's ears. And we're very proud of that one.
Awesome. And then I know, I guess by the third album, really, really blew up, because I think that had Walk This Way and Sweet Emotion. Any memories you can share of, you know, from a guitarist perspective of the first time you hear that, like, that's got to feel good on the fingers.
Well, that's just another example of Joe Perry coming up with these licks, and that was, you know, and that was born out of that. And we had a couple of different things and a couple of different ideas, and it's like, hey, this part might work with that part. And sure enough, it did. And next thing you know, we had a sort of an afternoon off, I think it was, and Stephen came back from seeing Young Frankenstein, and he goes, I got the title for the song. We're going to call it Walk This Way.
And right, because that's what Igor tells him, right? And he's like, no, walk this way.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
That's awesome. Any tidbit you can provide on Sweet Emotion? Because that's been, you know, that's one of my favorites over the years.
Yeah, that now that's Tom Hamilton, who came up with all of that music, and he comes up with just great stuff. And you know, that intro, that bass intro, is very difficult to play. It sounds quite simple; it just kind of rolls along. But you know, I've seen other people try to play it and they can't do it. Even Sting couldn't get it. So it's very cool. It's a very cool. It's so great to still hear these songs on the radio. Well, you know, when you first hear it, that is like really really cool. The first time you hear the stuff on the radio, you're just like flipping out.
Especially if it's one you wrote. Like, I know you wrote Last Child and Kings and Queens. Like, talk about hearing on the radio songs that you yourself, you know, would write.
It's just great. That is the rush of rushes when your music gets played on the radio. And it continues to happen today. You know, when I hear it today, I still have the same vibe. I get the same feeling.
That's awesome. That you still get that rush.
Yeah.
It probably never goes away. Never goes away.
Yeah.
Remind me. I know there was a brief. You guys sort of there was a brief breakup or change of lineup, like in the late 70s. I know Joe Perry left in like 79, and you left in 81. How long were you actually gone, and what sort of caused that sort of breakup and then getting the band back together? Because I know by like the early to late 80s, you guys were, you know, back together and crushing it, you know, with Run DMC and stuff. But what happened in that little breakup period?
Hey, before we answer, Jason, I just want to say we need to let Mr. Whitford go after this last question.
Oh, that's fine.
I think we're taping this.
No, I can cut that out. Don't worry.
Okay. No, actually, what happened in that period? I mean, we had been, I would say, overworked and overstimulated with the whole drug scene and stuff. We were very a little bit shattered there, and it was just a little fight. It was silly. But Joe kind of was like, I got to get out of here. And it seemed like to him things were going downhill. But he left, actually 1980, I left about a year later. And basically Joe was working on the Joe Perry project, which I actually worked with him a bit on that. And I did some other studio stuff for some other musicians, and otherwise I was kind of on break. And we got back together in the, it was like 83, 84, right around that time period. The wounds were healed, and we said, let's just try this again. And it worked.
Well, you didn't just try, you succeeded. So many more hits since the and all the way through, like, decades and decades, and Rock and Roll Hall of Fame until 2001. And it goes on and on. I know you're running up against the clock, so we appreciate you taking the time. Just everybody come out. Aerosmith, MC Harbor, August 8th, 10th, and 13th. Brad Whitford, thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, man, thank you very much, Jason. You had a great time.
All right.
And I hope to see you at the show.
Yeah, see you out there.
All right, cool. Thanks, Jason.
Bye.